Years ago, I saw a video that created one of those big lump in your throat, clog the sinus moments. It was just a few minutes long, but even now, years later, every time I see it, I get this lump in my throat like it was the first time. A grandpa picks up his two teenage grandsons for an outing. They're normal kids. They've got their phones. They've got their little games and their headphones, their earbuds. They're ready for the day with grandpa. He takes them to an older movie theater where they sit down to watch, and it's an older documentary complete with newsreels on the Second World War. Now, at first, his grandsons, they're just not that impressed. They're seen playing their video games, talking to each other, listening to their music, completely ignoring what's happening on the screen. Slowly, however, something catches the attention of the oldest grandson, and he starts to watch. And when his brother nudges him to take his turn at their game, he shakes his head, takes the earphones out, and soon his younger brother follows his lead. And you can just sense the aha moment when these two young men begin to understand the depth of service, loyalty, and sacrifice of the brave men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces who were standing in the gap to protect and serve the people and the nation that they loved. Toward the end of the film and throughout the theater, one by one, men and women of all ages stand and say the simple words to everyone there, "I fought for you. I fought for you. I fought for you." One by one, about 10 men and women take their turn sharing with their loved ones that are there with them how and why they served. Toward the end of the video, 5 soldiers on active duty enter in the back of the theater. And friends, in a matter of seconds, every person in the theater is standing, saluting, and applauding them in honor and respect and gratitude. Finally, as the video draws to a close, the grandpa leans over, addresses his grandsons, "I fought for you, and I'd do it again." Now, you might be wondering, Andy, that's very nice, but what does it have to do with Easter and our celebration of the resurrection? And once again, I have a very simple answer. Just about everything. I submit to you that on this day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that the warfare, the sacrifice, the commitment of those that this video honors is just a small glimpse of what we remember and celebrate this Easter morning. Earlier today, we heard from the Apostle John, one of the closest companions of Christ in those 3 years of his ministry. And I'm pretty certain that if we were to hear from any of the others that were there that resurrection morning, Peter, Andrew, James, the women that discovered the empty tomb, or any of the other followers of Christ who witnessed and spent time with the resurrected Savior, I think their stories would be much like John's. He's alive. He defeated death just as he said he would. Our lives will never be the same. Never the same. Isn't that why this Easter celebration is so meaningful to us still? It's not about the fancy clothes, the good food, or the colored eggs and gifts. It's about the one who came to us as an infant on that first Christmas. The one who at the end of his life would look down from a cruel cross and say, "I did this for you." At the cross, Satan launched his last and greatest weapon in the war against God. And as he watched Jesus take his final breath, the enemy of God just knew he'd finally won. Both the Jewish and Roman authorities left the man hanging on the cross thinking they'd successfully removed the threat to their power that Jesus had posed. When Jesus whispered the words, "It is finished," they were all in agreement. They thought he was correct. But they didn't know. Jesus' death was just the end of the beginning. You see, God was just getting started. A couple days later on that Sunday morning, as the women went to the tomb to do a proper job of preparing the body of Jesus to be buried, we can just imagine what they were feeling and experiencing. And I'm grateful for Luke and the other accounts of Jesus' life for giving us insights and a glimpse into what really happened. We read in the 24th chapter, starting in verse 5, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. These were words that they heard that morning, and here we see and understand the first resurrection that took place on that first Easter. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And 2,000 years later, on this Resurrection Sunday, 3 billion people are not celebrating because Jesus died. They're celebrating because he died and rose again. That hope that seemed lost on Friday has been raised to new life. And, well, it will never be the same. Later that Sunday on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus appeared to the followers who were walking away from the city, and again when he appeared to the followers who were gathered still trying to wrap their heads around what they'd seen and heard, Jesus is alive? One by one they realized the hope and the power of that first resurrection. Jesus is alive. The sting of death, the ultimate plan of Satan, has been defeated. The grave could not hold the king. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That is the first resurrection we witness on that first Easter morning. But there are two more resurrections we need to acknowledge today. Continuing on in Luke 24, verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Friends, here in Luke 24, as well as what we read in Luke's second historical record of the church, simply called the Acts of the Apostle, in both of these books we see the second resurrection that took place in the lives of his followers. Consider what they'd witnessed in just a few short hours. The fear and the confusion of the arrest of Jesus in the garden. The beatings at the home of the high priest. The false accusations and the fixed trials. The cruel march down the same roads he traveled just a few days ago as a triumphant king. The agony and the horror at the death of their rabbi, their teacher, crucified on a criminal's cross. Life for these followers of Jesus at this point held no purpose, no meaning, and more than likely they found themselves waiting for the other shoe to drop, expecting soldiers to come and arrest them as well. Oh, friends, the second resurrection was when the despair and defeat of Friday gave way on Sunday to renewed hope and purpose for those followers of Jesus. It was then they realized that their expectation of how the Messiah would rescue them, it wasn't big enough. Their vision had been too small, and now they realize if Jesus could defeat even the sting of death, so could they. And that's why those men and women who ran in fear and abandoned Jesus in the most difficult, the most painful 24 hours of his life, now that they've witnessed and experienced the power of the resurrection, they didn't hold back. They didn't run away. Their lives would never be the same. The power and purpose of Christ so filled these faithful followers that many of them would follow him even to their own grave because they knew Jesus offered life. Jesus offered hope beyond what anything this world could offer. There was no more fear. There was no more running to hide. There were just faithful followers to the very end. After seeing and interacting with the risen Jesus, his followers would do anything and go anywhere for him, and they did, and they still are, because there's a third resurrection that was made possible that morning of the first Easter. Consider the words of Peter, the one who denied knowing Jesus just a few hours earlier. Later, he would write these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he is giving us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A new birth, a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Well, who is Peter writing about? Here's the good news. He's writing about you and me. We represent the third resurrection that we celebrate today. The writer of the book of Romans put it this way, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Baptism is such a wonderful picture of the resurrection that's available for all who would believe in the first resurrection, even 2,000 years later. Jesus died, he was buried, he rose from the grave, and we too, when we're faithful to his instructions that he gave to the early church, we will die to our old nature of sin, our selfishness. We will be buried under the water, representing his burial in the tomb. And when we come up out of that water, we are risen to life, a new life. We're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Friends, even in the midst of the chaos and confusion of this past several weeks, the hope and the promise of our resurrection, that helps keep our eyes of faith firmly fixed on the one who's rescued us from the chains of sin and the bondage of darkness. After the resurrection of Jesus, after the resurrection of their own faith lives, those first followers of Jesus learned to lean into the love of Friday. And friends, so too must we. We who experience that third resurrection, we too must lean into the love of the Father who offered his Son, knowing what his Son would ultimately face. We must lean into the love of the Son that went to the cross. And we must lean into that love, and we must plug into the power of the resurrection. Power that brings the dead back to life. Power that provides the ongoing rescue of all who would believe and surrender to his love and lordship. God sent his Son and he asked him to suffer and die for us. But after 3 days, he brought him back from the grave. Jesus called his disciples to follow him as he brought them from their despair and their hopelessness back to life. They were completely committed to following Jesus even to the grave as they shared the truth of God's love and rescue. And Jesus invites us even today to die to our sin, to be buried with him symbolically in the waters of baptism, and to be raised up in newness of life, like the disciples, a new creation. No more running, no more hiding, just simply faithfully following and fearlessly following the Christ of Easter. Three resurrections, but one eternal hope and reward. Life, eternal life that goes beyond the grave, because the grave could not and the grave cannot hold our King. I pray this resurrection morning we'll consider the price that was paid by our Heavenly Father and by his Son, Jesus Christ. And may we hear the words their sacrifice shouts to us today. "I did this for you, and I'd do it again." Friends, will you accept his invitation to live eternally? I know we're not person to person and in the flesh this morning or today or whenever you're watching this video. But friends, if you have questions about this invitation of Christ or you'd like to know more about Jesus, please reach out to me so we can visit and talk about how you too can experience the joy and the wonder of the resurrection, so that you too can die to yourself and be buried with Christ and come up out of that watery grave of baptism a new creation, a new eternal life. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your love, that you would send your only Son to die on the cross. And we praise you that he came back to life, conquering the grave, making a way for us to live forever. Lord, help us today and every day to celebrate that. Not just one time a year, but every day of the year. Lord, help us to be overwhelmed by the power of the resurrection that's available to all of us. Help us to lean into the love of Friday and the hope and the power of Sunday's resurrection. Father, may this not be just a day when we remember something that happened a long time ago, but a day we experience your grace, your power, your life right here, right now. Father, we pray in Jesus' name.